This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now.
All right, what is up, gentlemen? We're live, episode number 60, Before the Train Wreck. How you guys all doing tonight? Do me a huge favor and smash that like button for me on YouTube. If you're watching this somewhere else, come on over to YouTube and watch it over here. It helps me a lot more. Tonight's topic is when men abandon friends and hobbies for women. And some of you guys have been there, done that. You have the t-shirt. Some of you are laughing right now going, who in the right mind would do something like that? Well, I for one. So I'll share my own personal story. And I got a few other examples here. And tonight, I don't think it'll take too long for me to get through this. So what I want to do is move over to dropping the join link. And if you guys have a question or an experience to share that's relevant to tonight's topic, to help other guys avoid making a train wreck out of their life, you'll be able to join on in and do that. I'll grab the link while I'm doing this and drop it here. So here it is in the chat if you guys want to join and ask a question or share an experience. Okay. Before I pop open the other screen I have over here because I want to share some visuals for you. There it is. So when I created the event, a bunch of the guys in my community dropped some comments here. And I can put these up on the screen because it doesn't show their name for some reason because it's a private community page. It just says Facebook user. This topic is a lot like Patrice O'Neill's joke on sport fishing. And if you're not familiar with that, you can Google that afterwards. But basically, the underlying notion is you have a sport fishing boat to catch fish. Once you've caught a fish, the fish wants you to get rid of the boat, basically. And his whole argument in the skit is, well, the only reason why you behave well and act good is because you know I can catch fish, which is why I keep the boat. So check out that little skit. Obviously, I've butchered it up a little bit, but you can take a look at that afterwards. Let me grab the other couple of comments here. There was one guy that was talking about car shopping, fueling my bike. What did he say here? Fantastic topic. Amount of guys that gave up motorcycling and would fanboy over me when I was fueling my bike was sad. All of them driving minivans and stopping talking to you when their wife comes out of the station. Yeah, the sad little boy inside. I used to ride bikes up until about 30, and I didn't give up bikes because of a woman. I gave up bikes because I saw too many of my friends getting hurt or dying. So I wanted to make sure that my number didn't come up because I knew that it was going to eventually. But yeah, I see a lot of the same sort of thing in the in the gas stations, especially with the R8 when I'm doing car events and stuff like that. Where was the other one over here that came up about the guy car shopping? Because I wanted to show you my story. Trouble going compared cheating. Where is it? Ah, here it is. So this dude brought up a good point. Been in the market for a Cayman lately. If you're not familiar, if you're not a car guy, that's a Porsche Cayman. It's a mid-engine sports car. Sporty car, I would call it. Many of them are being sold by men because they need a more practical car. Translation, they use the Cayman to impress the chick that they wifed up, but she wants them to sell it and get a comfortable, relying, boring Lexus RX to haul crap around in. Big thing you'll see a lot when you're out car shopping. Let me grab my screen over here because I pulled up some personal pics. Where is it? So this here was a car that I was particularly proud of. Yes, that's me and the cheese cutter leaning up against it. But by the time it was done, it looked like this. And I don't know if you guys can see that big enough on the screen. Let me see if I can make it a little bit bigger. There you go. So that's a 2003 E46 M3. That was one of my favorite cars, and I got rid of it because the girl I was with at the time told me that I needed to be more responsible and get a good four-door saloon. So like the proper blue-pilled, plugged-in dude that I was at the time, I complied. That was a beaut of a ride, slammed BBS LM wheels. It was just a nice little cruising car, but, yes, you know, we've all done it at some point. I also had another ride that this girl I was dating in my 20s. So the IROC Z, yes, I was an IROC Z owner. She used to come home, you know, stupid enough to live with a girl in my 20s, of course, another idiot move. She used to come home after walking home from the bus stop, you know, by the way, she didn't have a car. And she had the audacity to call my car in the driveway the Fagmobile. But yet, again, like the other guy pointed out, you know, it was the very thing or one of the very things that had attracted her to. I used to get a lot of women in that car. Me and my friends used to pile in and head up to the beach in the summertime. And it was just good times. But, you know, this is like typical for guys to go ahead and give up their passions, hobbies, and, you know, cars, friends, stuff like that. If you're not familiar with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, quick refresher, they've abandoned the throne basically in England, and they moved to Vancouver first. I believe they're down in LA now. But Prince Harry, it says here, may quit hunting over Meghan's dislike of the sport. This is an older article. When is this from? This is from 2020. He has since gotten rid of his hunting rifles because Prince Harry sells his hunting rifles to please Meghan Markle. A collection, probably a handmade, it says right here. So a handmade collection, probably quite an exquisite set, I would imagine, for 50 to 60,000 pound. Do they have a picture of it here? No. But guys will happily get rid of, you know, things that they're interested in as soon as a woman enters their life. And it's wrong. And I've done it. And I know it's wrong. And it never works out. It just doesn't work out for one, the relationship, and two, it sure as hell doesn't work out for you as a guy. That's a very, very bad move. Quick super chat from Stuart there. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Let's see. Here we go. So we've got Harry's story about quitting hunting. I think he's actually become a vegan since. Let's see if we can get a picture of his hunting rifle set. Rifles. Let's see if you know, he was in the military. You know, he would hunt with family. They like, one of the first stories that I heard is that he gave up his fox hunts when he was dating her, you know, before they even got married. Handmade Purdy hunting rifles. Let's see what these bad boys look like. I bet it's a sexy set. Purdy and Sons. Okay, yeah, we're talking some classic stuff here. This is handmade machinery. Better take this down before the YouTubes get angry at me. But you get the idea, yeah? I mean, you know, if it's a hobby of yours and it's a family tradition to go and do something, to fish, to hunt, to go to the races, to go to the drag strip, whatever it may be, guys, do not give up hobbies, passions, and dreams for women. Let me just remove that from the stream here. Got a couple of guys that are probably going to pop in to chime in and share an experience or ask a question. I will say this. Bad hobbies. You have an alcohol addiction. You're into, you know, illegal drugs and stuff like that. That's something you need to be smart about, right? It's not good for you to begin with, never mind what she wants or what's good for her. It's not good for you to begin with. But at the end of the day, women will try to baitatize you. They'll put guys through unknowingly. They don't do this intentionally. They'll unknowingly put men through a precise and progressive set of steps and series of steps known as baitatization by 1,000 concessions. And it starts out with something simple like, oh, do you really need to go hunting with the guys? And you still go anyway. And then it turns into something like you abandon hunting, you know, with the guys, or going to the, even if you don't hunt, maybe you go to the shoot the clay targets, do some skeet and trap, for example, and you abandon that because she doesn't like that because, you know, you've got a gun in the house, which should be locked in a safe, by the way. But, you know, she doesn't like that because of whatever value she might have. One of the things that's always bothered me is whenever somebody tries to impose their beliefs and values, not always in recent history, but like when I was in my 20s, people would always try to impose their beliefs and values on you. Well, you can't do that, or you should stop doing that, or da 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 da. And often men are quite happy to abandon their, let's get some light on here. Men are quite happy to abandon their passions to placate women. But when people start to impose their beliefs, sometimes it's your hobbies, sometimes it's certain friends, sometimes it's religious belief, but whenever people try to tell you what to do because it's in their belief system, that's usually the first sign. It's time to say sayonara and goodbye to that individual in your life. That's a part of you. I'm never, ever, ever going to give up going to rallies, exotic car meets, hanging out with the boys, driving fast. It's never going to happen. It's part of me. I enjoy hanging out with those men. I enjoy the camaraderie. I enjoy poking fun at each other's cars, poking fun at each other's driving skills, you know, having coffee, sitting down and having lunch and all that stuff. Those are things that I enjoy. I enjoy hanging out with my brothers from the Rule Zero gang, right? You know, I have an opportunity to hop on that when I'm not busy on a Saturday. So there's parts of your lives that should be non-negotiable as men that you should not abandon, that you should not walk away from just because a chick says, oh, I don't agree with your hobby of hunting. I don't care. I don't agree with your vegan lifestyle. If you want to eat plants and vegetables, go for it. I'm not going to shove a steak in your face. Like it's really as simple as that. Men will never do that. Well, it's not that likely. I mean, some men will have to enforce boundaries with women because they've got bad habits, i.e. Going out clubbing with promiscuous women. You know, if they want to be in a relationship and you've decided to do that and they still continue to do that, you need to enforce that boundary. You know, that's an obvious one. That is different from going out with your friends for a few days on a cabin hunting trip or going into the back country. One of the things that I used to like to do that a girlfriend that I used to date a while back tried to impose some restrictions on is I'd go to Algonquin Park. And if you're not familiar, just Google it very quickly. It's let me see if I can pull up a real quick pic because I got my screen share here, right here. This is what we're talking about here. Nope. Come on, image. So this is what you get when you go to one of these backcountry places. Real, real nice stuff, right? You know, something like this. This is one of the bigger lookout spots. So you can go look that up. But they got a lot of portage trails and canoe routes and all kinds of stuff throughout all the lake system there. It's not a particularly comfortable place to be, if I'm being honest. There are bears. There are things that can kill and eat you. Wolves, probably mountain lions. I mean, there's, you know, there's cats there for sure. But it wasn't because of safety. It was because it would take time away from her. And that was a non-negotiable for me. I mean, I would do that with a bunch of my friends. Now, over the years, I mean, we've been doing this since our 20s. And over the years, I've still be the one that's still insisting on wanting to go and do these trips. But slowly but surely, all these guys, as they get wifed up or as they have kids, they're no longer able to go and do the annual summer trip for like 4 or 5 days in the backcountry. Which is a shame because it's one of the best bonding moments you can have with other men. Men are tribal. Men need to be around other men. Men need to do things with other men. You know, when women get together, they just sit around and yap, right? But when men get together, we like to get together and go out and do something, usually something to challenge us, usually something to make fun of each other. But there's some kind of a camaraderie that exists in that instant. One of the differences that you'll notice between men and women is when men hang out together, we're usually together side by side, and this is a function of, you know, throughout history, if we were out hunting together, I got somebody here beside me, and we see a mastodon out there, and we're checking him out, looking behind the bushes. Your friend's not sitting across the table talking to you. He's to your left or or, you know, to your left or to your right, because you're having a conversation, you're getting ready to eye him down and spear this bad boy, right? But when women get together, they just sit around and talk. So they usually sit around a table or a circle or across from each other. So you'll notice big, big differences between the way men and women interact. And if women become aware to the fact that it's good that men have hobbies, that it's good that men have friends that allow them to do productive things and get them out of the house and allow them to have something to do aside from her. Because what most guys end up doing is they end up making her the hobby. They end up making her the focus of it all. And book one, Rational Male, one of the biggest takeaways from that was a woman should only ever be a compliment to your life, never the focus. But far too many men are all too happy to abandon their friendships, their hobbies, their interests, because she said that he's not allowed to do it anymore. How many guys do you guys know that were fit, strong, muscular men, you know, before they got involved with a woman, got wifed up or something like that? And a few years down the road, they turn into a fat slob, right? This is not uncommon. I've seen a lot of dudes, a lot of friends of mine that I used to hang out with, you know, we'd go to the gym. And as soon as they get involved with a woman in their life, they just don't look the same. You know, they pack on 30 pounds, sometimes 100 pounds, maybe even more, and they just give up. They don't put any effort into their appearance. And not only is that not good for them from the self-care perspective, but what these men fail to realize is you cannot relax as a guy. Women can relax in a long-term relationship, okay? I mean, all they're really supposed to do is maintain their level of attraction, but men need to continue to chase excellence. And part of chasing excellence means maintaining competency skills. It means making sure that, you know, you have the, like, if you're a hunter and you hang out with your friends and you hunt or you fish, you can still get the fish, right? That's why you keep the boat, so you can still get the fish. So you have to make sure that you're able to demonstrate that and be able to bring home the bacon, because that kind of stuff matters. But far too many, you know, I got rid of the boat because, you know, I got this instead and she wanted to get a minivan. So now we have a minivan and that's what we do, you know, sort of thing. Or maybe have a camper van, you know, camper / minivan. But they give up their personal time with their friends. And it's so unattractive to women. Guys have no idea how unattractive they become as a function of saying, yes, yes, honey, yes. Did you guys ever see that stand-up comedy? Who was it, Chris Rock or Chris Tucker? I can't remember. I always get the Chris's confused. But there's one stand-up where you know, he talks about just getting a stamp, just stamping everything. Yes, 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 yes. Honey, can I? Yes. Honey, can we? Yes. Honey, can I? Yes. Right? And it's just stamping everything without even questioning or saying no. And you have to, as a guy, be in a position to say no to women. You have to be able to hold firm. You're supposed to. You're a man. You're supposed to have a backbone. You're supposed to be able to say no to her. But the problem is men, we just get betatized. You know, we just get weak. You know, we allow it to happen. And you have to be aware that it's happening. But most guys are not aware. They just don't see it. They have no idea that it goes down. Let me hit here. Captain Gaines, a guy I know has made a single mom with two kids his LTR. They now live together and only him working. Best yet, when they have gone on holiday, he pays her mother to look after her kids. I'm just looking at the saying, wow, some very hard simping there. Seeing a lot of this lately. Yeah. Amos, I'm going to pull you in just a second. I see you waiting there. Give me a sec here. Let me just make sure I haven't missed any of these super chats or any comments that are worth putting up on the screen. Such a fall from grace. I'll be damned if I give up my hardest earned possessions, especially my guns. Yeah, you should not. Absolutely not. It is a hard no. You know, if she gives you it's me or your fishing rods, or it's me or your gun collection, I just look at the door and say, don't let it hit you on the butt on the way out. See ya. But too many men live in a scarcity mindset, right? They don't come from a place of abundance. That's just how modern men are today. Amos, pulling you in. One sec. What's going on, brother?
It's going good. Man, you brought up a whole bunch of stuff that reminded me of about a lot of that going on in my family. Hunting ended in my family with my grandfather because of my grandmother. pretty much ever since then, she stopped him from hunting, and he didn't teach my father to hunt, which then didn't teach me to hunt. Fishing was brought back through my uncle, but that was just a little thing. It wasn't really much there. There's not much there. Yeah, that there's that. And then I just know that among friends before the red pill, I know a lot of friends that just kind of expected that once you get married or once you're in a relationship, you just don't really hang with your friends as much anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not healthy, right? I mean, it's basically isolation. It's alienation from your hobbies and interests. And guys do it because they think that it wins them brownie points with her. A lot of guys have that honey, you know, that honey to-do list. Like if you do this, that, and the other thing, then you're going to get some starfish, you know, some starfish sex tonight. You know, they're all too happy to do all those things. And it's like, dude, the very things that you're doing right now are making you more attractive to her, more unattractive to her.
Yeah.
Complying and saying yes to everything makes you unattractive. And most men don't get that because they've been fed a steady diet of make yourself less so she can become more, bend the knee, you know, all that stuff, right?
A lot of guys who were athletes in high school now that are married with kids in tow. They don't look the same as they do. And I mean, granted, I don't look the same as I do in high school, but they're just kind of letting go. And then their wife lets go. And years ago, I saw this post on Facebook from a friend that basically said, you know, you call me whipped, I say I'm good at keeping my wife happy. I was like, and I didn't think of that much. Nowadays, I look back at that. And that same person that posted that did not invite me to his wedding.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, you know, when you start voicing these red pill truths to people, some of them are going to remove you from their life. And that's their choice. And they're doing you a favor, you know, because if it's going to constantly be conflict between you and them because their wife and him are fighting over, you know, your hunting trip, your fishing trip, your boys' weekend up north or whatever, it's like, you know what? If you want to be a beta bitch and bend the knee and supplicate her every woman desire and get her one of these yes stamps, then you know you deserve what you're going to get. The guy's probably going to come around at some point and be like, you know, Amos, I can't believe I haven't seen you in 5 years and now I'm getting divorced and I'm getting run through the meat grinder and I can't believe she's doing this to me. It's like, all right, dude, you know, surprise, surprise, right?
Here's a book.
Here's a book.
Now, I had a question. I don't know if it's necessarily connected, but would you like, what about hobbies or things that you did with someone you were dating or married to that then changed, like you had a, like you weren't able to do later on? Let's say like you did something that like, maybe this wasn't even necessarily like a guy thing, but like it's just an activity you did with someone you were with. And then after the breakup, like you have a hard time like wanting to get back into it because you have such an impression connected.
Yeah, that's something that happens to guys. I mean, that's happened to me, you know, once with a breakup where I would go and do an activity with this chick and I couldn't bring myself to continue to do that, you know, specific activity just because like the trauma from it all, because you got the one-itis for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of common, right? It's not,
and
that
it's not even like uncommon. An important, or it's like a really common activity.
Here's the thing. I mean, like friendships usually last longer than relationships, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, good, solid friendships that are like based on mutual interests and like a brotherhood sort of thing, like a tribe. You know, if you get into Jack Donovan's books, like, you know, The Way of Men and Becoming a Barbarian and all that sort of stuff, you know, he talks about the tribal nature of men and how you need to form a gang. Like there's no cohesion with men and women over a long-term basis in that gang type of format. And to be honest with you, like when men and women do things together, like when I do things with my chick, like if I do something like, all right, let's go for a hike sort of thing, I can do that with anybody. Okay. But I'm not going to take her to the shooting range to go hit targets, or I'm not going to take her hunting. Right.
Right.
You know, it's a totally different thing. Those sort of tribal things, you know, those sort of gang related type of activities. I'm not saying gang like a criminal sort of way, but I mean like, you know, men need to form a gang, you know, they define a perimeter about who's on the inside and who's on the outside sort of thing. Those are a lot longer lasting and they're a lot more useful, you know, to everybody that are involved in that sort of environment. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does happen 100%. All right, I got Captain Gaines here in the background waiting to hop in. You good? Did you have any other questions?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm good. Yep.
All right. Awesome. Talk to you soon. All right, Captain Gaines, and you're up. What's shaking, brother? You got a question or experience to share? Hello, hello. Okay, no microphone. In 3, 2, 1, boom. All right, guys, if you're going to click that join link, it's to either contribute and share an experience that will help other men avoid making a train wreck out of their life, or you want to ask a question. I'll drop the join link again. Hop on in. There's a super chat up here from Albert. Let me hit that real quick. Albert Husley says, girlfriend keeps breaking up with me and then coming back. I feel like I'm doing everything right in the relationship. Why is she breaking up with you then? If you're doing everything right, would be my question. Click that join link and hop in. You know, let's have a quick chat about that. Try to figure that one out. See what's going on. But there's a few questions I've got for you there. Guys, all you need, just make sure when you join and you grab corded headphones or some kind of headphones so you don't have any issues with audio. Click it, join in. Make sure you got your question ready or your experience share ready to go. And that'll help other guys out here immensely. Captain Gaines, you get your audio fixed? Captain Gaines. No, I don't hear anything here in the background or anything in the chat. All right. What else can we cover here with this? This is like a really, really simple and basic topic. What are some things that men should be doing? I think is another thing that we should cover here when it comes to friendships and hobbies. You don't want to be involving women in masculine, you know, pursuits. I see some guys do this successfully. Who's a really good example here? I think his name is Adam Greentree. Generally speaking, you don't want to involve women in your hobbies and passions. Let me see. Adam, I don't know if you guys follow Joe Rogan. You've probably heard of this guy. His name is Joe Rogan. That's a popular podcast. But this dude over here, pop it in the screen. So there's a really interesting podcast, or there's probably at least two that I've heard him do now with Joe Rogan. And he does a lot of hunting trips with his wife. I think this is her over here. Kimmy is her name or something like that. There it is, Kimmy Greentree. So they do a lot of their hunting trips together. You can see she's got a pretty active hunting feed as well. It's not often that you're going to have women that are going to have a genuine interest in doing this, you know, with their husband. I wouldn't encourage trying to invite her into that. Like, unless she grew up in a household with a couple of brothers and a father that was a hunter and it's something that she likes, I wouldn't try to force that down her throat sort of thing and try to make your hobbies her hobbies. That's usually not going to end up well. You're far better off, in my opinion, anyway, doing this, you know, with just men rather than trying to turn your wife into your best friend or your girlfriend into your best friend. That's why you're supposed to have best friends, to avoid that. Oh, we got Scott back there. I'll pull you in, bro. Hold on a second here. What's up, brother?
Hey.
Good to see you. If you guys didn't see the before the train wreck with Scott, he's an ex-military guy and a psychologist. He was talking about some of the crap men go through. Or put themselves through by choice when it comes to the military. And that was an interesting conversation. What was that episode? That was around 20 or 30 back. It was about 6 months back. Yeah.
I thought it was 47. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right. So you guys can go back there, but I mean, you hit me up on Twitter today and you know, I said, why don't you hop on and share some experiences on this? So tonight's topic's about men abandoning their hobbies and friendships for women. What's your experience been like with that?
You know, it's the tweets this morning were about abundance and scarcity and feedback loops. And so I've been thinking about this all day, right? Because you invited me to this and I was like, all right, well, let me keep this in the front of my mind. And what I was going to do is I'm going to tell you, it's not really a story. It's actually something that happened to me multiple times where the the theme is the same through all of these, right? So I've had this happen to me at least three times in long-term relationships. And the reason I say three is because I've had this conversation three times. I think it's happened a few more times than that, but I never had the balls to actually bring it up with the girl, right? But basically the context is this. You're in a long-term relationship and you're at the tail end of it, right? So a long-term relationship I define as anything that's more than about 5-6 months and it goes on for a year or two or something like that, right? Because I was pretty much the serial monogamous guy for a long time before I got married, right? So so I'm at the tail end of one of these relationships, and I make note of, you know, how quickly the relationship got physical with the woman, whoever it is, right? I'll say, hey, you know, things are kind of winding down, you know, it looks like we're not going to make it, but like, what was the deal with, like, why did you jump into the sack with me so fast at the beginning? Why was it first date, second date? And what do you think every single one of those said to that? If you had to guess, what do you think the response was?
Well, I know why they did it, but I don't know what they would say exactly. So, I mean, they would do it because they deem you as a high value alpha and they,
right. So,
and they break rules for men like
that. What I was told was, I didn't think you were going to be around that long. Every single time I asked that question, it was, you know, I thought you looked like a lot of fun, but I didn't, but you seem like the kind of guy who was just going to, you know, hit it and leave, you know? And when you're a guy like myself, you know, who has I think of myself as fairly average and standard American guy. You hear something like that and it, you know, think about what that does to you. You're like, wow, I didn't realize I was all that. You know, I thought I was just some guy. Right. So set that aside for just a second, because it's important to sort of how I sort of conceptualize this now. Right. So think about this in terms of feedback loops and your hobbies and your interests and your sort of your self-image, right? So every single one of those times that I got into a relationship under those circumstances, I was in a scarcity mentality at the beginning of the relationship. So I don't know about you, but I actually struggle with scarcity and abundance. I kind of bounce back and forth from the two. I've never really been that good at like holding on to just constant abundance mentality. Just keep that on focus, keep going with that. So at the time, I would get into a relationship with a girl who I perceived as I was punching way above my pay grade, right? Like I thought, wow, she is way out of my league. Never going to find this again. We're having sex right at the front end of this. So I better lock it into a, you know, an LTR as fast as I can. Get this one to be my girlfriend, right? And then you start acting like a boyfriend. You start doing all this stuff that you've been talking about for the last 20, 25 minutes, right? Where you start dropping the hobbies and all this stuff. A part of the problem with that is, from a psychologist's perspective, I can tell you that if you're starting to get depressed, especially depressed, but if you're starting to get anything like depressed, one of the things that you need to do is you need to start looking at your feedback loops, which usually has to do with your hobbies and your interests, right? The things that you like to do, whether it's cars for you, it's guns and hunting and running. I really like running, you know, for me. Whatever those things are, when you engage with those out in the environment, they make you feel good and they make you feel like doing those things more, right? And the opposite is true if you stop doing them. So if you just stop tomorrow doing your car thing, you would feel like shit, okay? And not only would you feel that way, you wouldn't feel like doing cars anymore. And then you start down this spiral of the feedback loop is, I'm not doing it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't like doing it. I don't feel like doing it. But as soon as you pull yourself up by your bootstrap and say, you know what, I'm going to go to a car rally, you will start to feel better. And then you'll start to feel like going to more car rallies and all this stuff. When you get into these kinds of relationships like this, you inject yourself into a downward feedback loop where you just don't even feel good. And then you start the weight gain, all the other stuff that sort of goes with that, right? Because you're no longer you, right? So this has happened to me. Like I said, this happened to me at least three times. I suspect that it's happened several other times, but I just didn't have it didn't occur to me to ask the question. And so all of this is sort of, all these things really are tied together in some pretty meaningful ways. The abundance versus scarcity stuff, the dropping your hobbies, the, you know, getting positive feedback loops, because you've got to get out there into the world so that the world can feedback to you that this is a good thing that you're doing. You enjoy doing it. It makes you feel good. You get endorphins from it and all that stuff. And as soon as you remove yourself from your normal environment for a girl or for whatever reason you're doing it for, you will stop being all the shit that she was attracted to, all the stuff that she thought was cool. All that stuff just sort of goes away. Right. Absolutely. So that's kind of how I think about this now. And on the issue of being told that at the beginning, I suspect that means that I'm more alpha than I think I am, right? At least when I have an abundance mentality and I'm staying in shape and I'm doing all this stuff. And I think that probably applies to a lot of guys who have a lower self-image of themselves than they really ought to.
You think it's self-image that causes them to put her up on a pedestal? Or do you think it's just the feminization of the male, or is it both?
I think this actually ties into some of the stuff that Rollo talks about, where I believe that this is what a greater beta / lesser alpha, whatever you want to call it, looks like under a tremendous amount of blue pill conditioning, right? So, I mean, this is basically what is optimizing the hypergamous drive, if that's what you know, or the female mating strategy, right? That's what they want. They want a bunch of guys who are, or you would call high value, to feel like they're not high value, right? So sort of like that it sort of puts you on your heels all the time and makes you wonder, should I?
Yeah, that's part of the shit testing that women do. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so women will shit test men when they want to, how can I put this in simpler terms? Like the whole notion of hypergamy is this the best that I can do? So women shit test men to make sure that he's the best that she can do. It's basically a competency test.
Right.
It might be a task, like, I don't know, change the summer tires to the snow tires, something like that. Most guys should be able to do that. Unfortunately, not many can. But it's that steady, slow process of not putting yourself first and putting her specific agendas first ahead of what's in the best interest, like the enlightened self-interest, the mental point of origin you've heard us talk about. Mm-hmm. When you stop making yourself your own mental point of origin and you abandon your hobbies, your friends, your passions to supplicate her, then that's usually when she starts to become less and less interested in you month over month, year over year. Now, you've been married for a long time, yeah?
Yeah, and that's actually a good sort of jumping off point to that, right? So I am a guy who takes a really long time to learn some things, right? So I had this happen to me multiple times where the relationship started out with a bang and sort of fizzled out over months and years. But by the time I got to my wife, when I met her on our very first date, I had this conversation with her. I told her, I'm in graduate school. I'm a fourth year PhD student. I have applied for the Army internship program. So that means that I am about a year from now, I am going to be in a doctoral internship program someplace in the country, wherever the Army sends me. And I am never, ever going to stop giving up on that dream. I'm going to get promoted. I'm going to do all these cool things. I'm going to build a ranch in Montana when I retire from the Army. And nothing is going to stop me from doing that stuff. And I said, if you want to go along for that ride, that's cool. And she said, okay. And that was date number one. Mm-hmm. I started with that. I began with the first date, and that has worked. Basically, I have never adjusted my priorities.
Would you have done that in your 20s?
No, I wouldn't. It wouldn't have occurred to me.
Yeah. How long have you been married now?
14 years.
Yeah. So at some point, I mean, you come to that enlightened self-interest where you're like, okay, I need to put myself first. And you realize leaving your own frame, like abandoning your pursuit of excellence to supplicate hers, is going to turn her off. So you said right from the get-go, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to get on the bus and come along for the ride and support me? Or do you want to get lost?
Yeah.
And she said, okay, well, you're the best that, like, my hypergamy is happy with you, Scott. Let's go do it.
Yeah. And I still run every morning. I get up at 4:30 in the morning and I go run my
bike. And that's what you have to do as a man. And
nothing stops me from doing that. Nothing. Yeah. I don't care what's going on inside the house. I don't care if the kids are freaking out, whatever. I just go, time for my run. Off I go.
How's the ranch coming along, by the way? I've seen some photographs you've posted on Twitter.
So I ran into a number of, like, contractor issues. I don't know if you've ever built a house.
Yeah, I built a custom home, but that was, you know,
contractors are a pain in the ass, man. They what my advice would be, when you set up your contract with all of your contractors and your subcontractors and everything else, make sure that you've got progress payments built into it that are tied to a specific, you know, at this much money, we're going to have this much house, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'm going to give you another $8,000. Then you're going to build the roof. Then I'm going to give you another $8,000 and you're going to do the.
Did you set that term in there? Or are you battling with that right now?
I didn't do a very good job of that. And so I got out in front of them, and if you pay in advance, they stop coming. Mm-hmm. And then you have to, you know, I mean, you just got to be a dick about it, you know, like, hey, I already paid for this, 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 and this. Why isn't it built yet? You know, and so that's been my issue.
I got an interesting comment here I'm going to throw up on the screen. Alex, Alexander, I know you're waiting to come on in, so I'll bring you next. Just sit tight. Physician Rehab says she falls for the guy that you are, so why change that? And it's not that you, like, you will change that, but you need to become better than what you are today. You can't become worse than what you are today. As soon as you become worse than what you are, that's when she starts, you know, that's when the clock's potentially ticking down to the end of that relationship or the marriage or whatever, right?
Yeah. And I've actually done a couple of videos about that on my YouTube channel about motivation and excellence and stuff like that.
Where drop your channel name so people can find it.
Oh, it should be Treasure State Psychological Services. If it's not, it's just Scott Klagic. But I perceive that whole issue as basically, even though, you know, you and I don't know how old you are. I'm 48, right? And I find that, like, going to the gym is getting harder and harder and harder, right? And so, like, I still try to hit personal records on bench press. I still try to do all that stuff, even though I know that eventually my body is going to start to fail to be able mm-hmm. to do stuff like that. But it's like you're pushing a ball up a hill that's getting steeper and steeper and steeper, and the ball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and heavier, mm-hmm. and you have to push the ball faster and faster and faster. And some people will say, shit, man, you're going to give yourself a stroke with that attitude. I don't care. I would rather die like that than fade out slow at the end, right? And so, and I think my wife really appreciates that about me. And I preach to her about that. I preach to my kids. I say, you can never, ever stop. Never stop. And so they glom onto that. You know, they think that's cool.
You can never stop. You know, yeah, you can never stop chasing excellence. I mean, there's, you know, there's one of my favorite mugs. Women don't care about your struggle. They hang out the finish line and pick the winner. You can grab these in the merch store below, by the way. I think there's one pinned up over there. But see, one of the things that I tell guys a lot that are married, I've got a lot of guys in my community that will ask questions and things that are going on in their marriage. And I'll often, as, you know, to be the devil's advocate, I'll remind men, see, you'll have to do all this work in a long-term relationship / marriage, and your reward for all of that is going to be the same woman that you had 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So you need to make sure that if you're getting into this and this is what you want to do, it's like, yeah, like, this is what you want to do. There's no question in your mind.
Yeah. It's, I don't even really think it's for everybody, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a part of me, and my wife actually knows this. She may even be, well, I think you have to be a member for this one, but I've mentioned this in passing before that, you know, I'm kind of addicted to that like adrenaline rush of that, what most people call falling in love, you know, the first few weeks and months of a new relationship and all that stuff. And if I was to go back and meet like the 17-year-old version of myself, I might say something like, if you really want that, you need to get a new girlfriend every 2 years. Forever. Yeah. Basically, that's the only way you're going to, because it's really hard to maintain that with the same woman for now going on almost 20. And it's not just hypergamy and red pill. It's just people are like that. I mean, it's really, if you're trying to maintain that like intense level of romantic relationship, it can be done, but it's like not.
It's high risk and lower reward for men, and low risk and higher reward for women.
Yeah.
Because of family law. More than anything. But yeah. All right, cool. I got another guy waiting in the area to chime in. So if you want to check out Scott, you can find him on YouTube or Twitter. What's your Twitter handle again?
It is American Dad? American Dad 1971.
There you go. All right. Thanks, brother.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Alex, you're up, brother. You have audio, I hope. You're muted right now. You got a line through your mic. Guys, if you want to jump in and share an experience or ask a question, the join link has been posted. Make sure you hop in with a working mic. Alex, I'm going to pull you out. I don't think you have a working mic, and remove you from the waiting area. Please, guys, if you're going to come into the waiting area, make sure you've got a question or experience to share. There's a super chat up over here, just a donation from Steve. Thanks, brother. I have started working on a sponsored post that will share my story and allow your insight. Anytime you're ready, man. Guys, if you want to send a sponsor topic request, they're pinned in the top comment. I haven't gotten to pinning a comment here on this one, but you can request a topic here. Video. It's basically a sponsored video. And, you guys have seen me do those, so I shouldn't have to explain it for you. But yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Hobbies are your sanctuaries, and sanctuaries thrive on boundaries. And they need to be with other men. You need to be doing these things with other men. You can make it, like I said earlier, you know, you can make it work if like Adam Greentree / Kimmy Greentree with her hunting passion. I'm assuming she grew up in a household where her father and probably brothers were hunters as well. That's really the only time that you can combine those two things together, and it may work out well on a long-term basis. But generally speaking, I wouldn't try to convince a woman that something like fishing or hunting or I don't know, like powerlifting is something that you should be doing together. You should, generally speaking, continue to pursue your own hobbies and passions on your own. Like a recent interest of mine that I haven't been able to get into in the last few months, because we're still literally like, I can't even go to the gym. The dojo's closed. I wouldn't bring a chick to the dojo. I wouldn't want to train with her. I wouldn't want to show her how I train. Doesn't matter. She just wants to know that I'm competent and that I'm able to defend myself and her should the need arise, right? And at the end of the day, doing too much with women causes problems on a long-term basis. You need some time apart. One of my friends, actually Brad's a guy that I've had on before for a Playing to Win episode. I think it's about 3 or 4 episodes back. Brad Pedersen, good friend of mine. I've known him for a while now. And one of the things that he attributes the success of his marriage, it's been over 22 years for him, was the time apart, because he was an entrepreneur. He had to travel around a lot. He ran a toy company. He told the whole story, but you know, quickly to summarize, what made it work was that he never stopped chasing excellence in his own life, and he never abandoned his own passions. Dude loves power, so boats, you know, cars, motorcycles, stuff like that. He didn't buy a motorcycle for him and his wife. He bought himself a motorcycle, okay? And she didn't protest when he went out and did his thing. When he wanted to mountain bike, he did it, for the most part, on his own. Like, I went mountain biking with him quite a few times. And his wife had a mountain bike, but it wasn't her pursuit. It was his. So she never really got into it full time. So you don't want to impose your hobbies and passions on her. Reserve those for your friends, for your brothers, you know, for the other men in your own tribe. You have to form a tribe with other men. You have to form, as Jack Donovan says, you know, like the way of man is like the way of the gang. Great book. Read it. If you haven't read it, I definitely recommend you guys get your, you know, get your heads around it, because once you understand the importance of it, once you understand that you do not abandon your pursuits, your passions, your hobbies, your friendships for women, you never compromise on it ever again. Absolutely not. I've had friends that I've let go because girlfriends that I was dating didn't like that I had friends that would take time away from her. They would have competition anxiety because me and my friends were big, strong, masculine alpha men that would go and do the kinds of shit that would attract women. You know, playing a lot of beach volleyball downtown at Q Beach, right? You know, you do something like that enough, women that are also involved in a sport or walking up and down a boardwalk, you can easily chat them up. So the competition anxiety in her head, you know, the hamster's caffeinated, it starts running off the wheel at top speed. Oh, you know, you're not allowed to hang out with those friends and go and play volleyball down by the beach anymore, because we got to go and do blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And most guys are like, okay, I'll do whatever you say, because they don't have an abundance mindset, because they're not okay with saying no. They're not comfortable with saying no to women. You have to get good at saying no. You have to get good at saying no to women and people in your life, because if you do not have the ability to say no, then that owns you. She owns you if you can't say no to her. Guaranteed. Guys watching this right now are going, yep, he's right. Guys that have been through it in the past are going, yep, he's right. Some guys that haven't been with women are going, I don't really know right now, but it's the truth, okay? If you can't say no to anything, including a woman, if you can't say no to coffee, tea, alcohol, weed, if you can't say no to cigarettes, then that owns you, okay? And it's the same thing in a relationship with a woman. If you can't say no to her and you supplicate her every whim, desire, and passion, you're going to run into problems somewhere down, you know, the road. You can't say no to cigarettes. Chances are going to be a lot higher that you're going to run into a cardiovascular or lung disease type of issue later on down the road because you couldn't say no to it, right? You have to have the ability to make things your bitch. Make sure you can say no to a woman. Make sure you can say no to vices in your life, okay? If you have a drinking problem, make that bottle of booze your bitch. Simple as that. I'm going to keep this a little shorter today and keep it under an hour. I got to get ready for a private broadcast with my community. So I've dropped the join link there. If you guys have a experience you want to share or a question to ask, do it now, please. Conk just made a really good point there. Walking on eggshells equals inevitable catastrophe. 100%. All right, guys. It's been a good show. Do not abandon your pursuits and passions for a chick. Do not sell your sports car for a minivan. Do not get rid of your fishing boat because you've proven you could catch a fish once. And what do you need a fishing boat for? Go look up that Patrice O'Neill skit. Search for Patrice O'Neill in YouTube and sport fishing, and you'll see exactly what I mean. I'm going to do another one of these next Monday. I'm probably going to do it on green flags. A few of you guys have requested me to do an episode on what green flags to look for to consider a relationship, if that's what you're looking for. So I got a couple of notes here, and a bunch of you guys made some really good posts. Guys, if you're new to the channel, hit subscribe and the notification bell when you're watching videos. I've got about 6 or 7 videos already in the queue I got to edit and pop out this week to publish. So I got lots of videos coming out this week. And of course, I'll probably either be hosting Rule Zero this Saturday or I'll be on one, but keep an eye out for me on social media because I'll mention where that's at. And before I do go, I do have to shout out to my channel sponsor. There's a brand new series of soaps. Scott put out a sequel, Dirt and Two, Bond 2, and Maverick 2. So you can either go to coopersoap.com. The coupon code's already built in, or if you're watching the replay in the pin top comment, click that link and just use coupon code Cooper to check out. You get 10% off. High quality, handmade, pheromone soap. The tri-pack with the new series, I think it's $29 or so. It's awesome. So check it out. So thanks, Scott, for continued support, the creation of content by being a sponsor with Tactical Soap. We'll see you guys in the next broadcast. Peace out.